In the last census, when it got to the question about religion, which box did you tick? Data from the 2016 census was analysed by the New South Wales Parliamentary Research Library, and it shows that the number of people ticking Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism across the Hunter is on the rise. But the more established denominations, if you like, of Christianity are going down. Catholics and Anglicans, they're shrinking hugely. And people of no religion has doubled in almost every electorate across the Hunter region, and that's not unusual. So people saying no religion has doubled between 2011 and 2016. The number of non-believers has risen 47% in Lake Macquarie, the Upper Hunter and Port Stephens, and 60% in Wall's End. What's that about? Even more in Wall's End. This morning, Jenny, here on 12:33, Jenny Marchant spoke to Neil Foster, who's Associate Professor of Law at the University of Newcastle, about the figures, just to have a look at what it means for freedom of religion and a number of other things that they spoke about. But if people are losing their religion, where does that leave them? Jane Caro is a spokesperson for the National Secular Lobby, and she is with me now. G'day, Jane.
Hello, Paul.
Good to talk to you again, incidentally.
Very nice to talk to you.
Well, how do you read these figures? I know there was a campaign in the lead up to the last census saying if you feel you are of no religion, make sure you tick that box rather than going, oh, ancestrally, I'm Anglican or whatever, and I'll just do it. How much of these figures can we put down to that campaign?
Oh, I think certainly that has had an impact on the figures. I think a lot more people are much more relaxed about admitting to their lack of religious faith. It's becoming, and of course, the more common it gets, the easier it gets to say that you don't believe in any God.
Yeah.
So there's a sort of, you know, momentum that happens with that. But I think also, you know, it's perfectly obvious across society that people are, you know, moving away from the kind of organised and institutional religions that have held such sway for so long.
Yesterday I was talking, some areas it's still growing. Yesterday I was talking to what I think would be called a Christian community church. So they kind of go, we are not religion. They have a little bit of a theme that, you know, we're losing our religion. They are a Christian church, but they're non-denominational. And I'd be fascinated to know if people who belong to those churches would tick no religion, because there wouldn't be another one. You can't go Anglican, Catholic, whatever.
No.
So maybe they go no religion. And that church is growing hugely. They've just adapted a new building. They're going to have a 600-seat auditorium. It's one of those churches, you know what I'm talking about, who have this huge, growing, young, married population.
Yeah, a lot of those churches that grow very quickly have a huge churn, people coming in and going out. You know, so I don't really know the answer to that question as to whether those are outliers, you know. But I think when you're looking at the number or why people would tick the no religion box, but I suspect most people who tick no religion, we should take them at face value.
Yeah.
They are non-believers.
So why do you think it is? Is it just part of the general loss of faith in all kinds of established organisations, unions, politics? Pick any authority figure, and people tend to be losing faith, in inverted commas, in those institutions. Is it part of that?
It could be, but you'd almost feel that if they were losing faith in secular institutions, they ought to be increasing their faith in religious institutions, and that doesn't seem to be the way it's going at all. There may be a certain, you know, anti-establishment kind of feeling in general, but I suspect that, you know, basically religion has been very useful to human beings as an explanation for things we didn't understand. And as science, you know, starts to understand more and more, for a lot of people, you know, they just start to need religion less. I think, too, there has been a movement in certainly many churches to become more conservative, more extreme, and more moralistic. And that may well turn a lot of people off, particularly if they wore their religion very lightly. You know, they were the kind of, oh, well, I'm an Anglican because Mum was. You know, if they suddenly find themselves going into churches and getting lectured about how they should vote in same-sex marriage or what their attitude to reproductive rights should be, you can see why that might chase them away.
For many people, their church was a link with community. It was a link with their parents and grandparents, even if they were no longer there. It was still, you know, this is the ancestral church.
Part of the family culture.
That's right. And it was also a safety net to varying degrees. I mean, I know there have been, particularly historically and maybe still today, as soon as you vary from the mainstream, you get chucked out of the church anyway, divorce, gone, which left a lot of people rather disillusioned. But still, for many, it is a safety net. And if that safety net is gone, if they've chosen to, you know, if they don't believe anymore and they've chosen to leave, where does that leave us?
Well, one would assume that if you're choosing to leave, you've found another safety net.
Not necessarily. That's not necessarily the case. Just because you lose faith in one thing doesn't mean there's something else you have faith in.
No, but it means that if you've lost faith in it, then it wasn't a safety. You know what I mean? It can't be a safety net anymore.
Mm.
So basically, it no longer makes you feel safe. Otherwise, you'd stay. So something has happened. You've lost faith. You don't feel it represents you anymore. You never really quite believed, and now you just can't reconcile it. So it's no longer a safety net either if you've lost your faith. So the point is people find it in community still, I believe. They find it in family. They find it in friendships. They find it in their work. They find it in all sorts of places. And some people may feel a bit cut adrift. But, you know, if you no longer have the belief, then the safety net thing doesn't work. So that, you know, that's a problem. But I honestly think that for many people, the safety net thing was probably a bit of an exaggeration. I think we've often used religion as control mechanisms. I mean, theocracies are awful places. No woman in her right mind would want to live under a theocratic government. It's very hard to be a modern woman and deeply religious. These days, the two things are often incompatible. Of course, there are lots of liberal denominations where they're not, and that's great. But, you know, if your family background, your community, your old safety net was in one of the more rigid, you know, religious faiths, then you've really got not a lot of options but to compromise your beliefs horribly or to leave.
If we can believe the figures, if the number of non-believers between 2011 and 2016 has risen by somewhere between 47% and 60%, depending on which electorate you're looking at, that would surely be echoed in some kind of a bigger shift in other attitudes in society, that people would be more inclined to do things differently in their lives. It's not just a matter of what am I going to do on Sunday morning. It's surely a bigger thing.
One would think so, yes. And I think we see in the result of the same-sex marriage plebiscite that, you know, social attitudes have changed exponentially. And a lot of this is probably to do with social media where, you know, women, people of colour, LGBTQI people have got, you know, unmediated access to the public conversation for the first time in history. And that is starting to shake the foundations of the old patriarchal structures, and it's having its effect. But I don't think, particularly the Hunter figures, I don't think you can discount the effect, the deeply felt effect of the Royal Commission into institutionalized responses to child sex abuse, and the way the churches, so many of them, you know, the Catholic Church certainly, but lots of religious organisations.
And the Anglicans, they were very prominent here as well.
Yeah. Salvos, I mean, you name them, were found to be so lacking and so really blithe in their attitude to the mistreatment of children. I think that's had an enormous disillusioning effect on a lot of people, and a sense in which they literally lost their faith in those institutions being what they said they were. The hypocrisy, I think, has been revealed, and, you know, human beings don't like hypocrisy, and they have walked away. And I think things like that really have had a huge effect on people who were just going along with it because mum and dad, you know, had them baptised and grandma cared about it. And I think now they're just saying, no, nah, sorry, I really don't want to be associated with that.
Very interesting to talk to you, Jane. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. It's a momentous change, and it remains to be seen how it plays out in society.
It's
the other things
panicking.
That
it's a panicking a few people, I think. But you know, things do change.
Yeah. Good on you. Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye.
Jane Caro, who's a spokesperson in this case, she's a spokesperson for many things, but in this case for the National Secular Lobby. The number of non-believers has risen 47% in Lake Macquarie, the Upper Hunter and Port Stephens, so nearly 50% increase, and it's 60% rise in the number of non-believers in Wallsend. These are electorates we're talking about here, state electorates.